So Alek Manoah is getting the ball tomorrow. He's a guy that Jays can rely on right now. Like, Manoah wants the ball. He wants to get on the mound. Last year, he had a spectacular season. Like, we forget, it was his first full year in the majors. The year before he came up, I think he had 20, 21 starts. But in terms of being there, breaking camp, being a part of the rotation, being a consistent part of the rotation, things have happened quickly for this dude. They have happened quickly. Like, to get the ball opening day is a significant gesture by Schneider, Walker, and the Jays, and it's one that I'm sure Alek Manoah will embrace. And again, the Jays are up in St. Louis. They're off today, but it gets started tomorrow. And we caught up with Alek Manoah, and we began by asking him, how cool was it to get the news you're getting the ball opening day?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, it's a blessing. You know, to be able to take the ball on opening day and kind of lead the charge out there and kind of set the tone for, you know, the rest of the weekend and the rest of the season, you know. So, super excited.
So, take us through the transaction. Like, how did you hear? Who brought it to your attention? And how did you react when you heard you were getting the ball tomorrow?
Well, I was super excited, you know. Schneider brought me into the locker room, him and Pete, you know, just talked to me, basically wanted to go over, you know, the rest of my, you know, spring training outings and, you know, how it kind of will lead off into the season. And, you know, then told me I'd be, you know, pitching some big games, you know, before, and I'm going to be pitching in a big one on opening day. And I was super excited, man, you know, just such a blessing. You know, we have an amazing pitching staff. I truly believe that ball, you know, could have gone to anybody on opening day. So I'm just super blessed that it was me.
So how do you compare for tomorrow, comparing for tomorrow's start to game one of the playoffs, where I'm sure you knew, you know, ahead of time that it was lining up that way? Do you expect similar butterflies, similar excitement, you know, game one of the season compared to game one of the playoffs?
Oh, I get excited for every outing. I get super, super pumped up, super excited for every outing. You know, I never want to take that mound for granted, you know. And you know, for me, I think it's you know, prepare how I prepare for every game, you know, and go through my routine. And you know, we've had a great week of preparation, you know, going over my scouting reports and, you know, throwing great bullpens and side sessions and great throwing programs. You know, so I just prepare like I do for every game, you know, and I tend to throw like it's my last game every game, and play with a ton of passion and a ton of energy every time out there, you know. And I think it's a little bit different, you know, when you're getting ready for a wild card, you know, or a playoff series, you know. It's win or go home, you know, so you kind of, you throw all your eggs in one basket, you know. But this is game one of 162, and it's going to be a long year. And, you know, the goal is to go out there and compete as hard as I can and help this team get a win and, you know, kind of keep that going into the rest of the year.
Where do you think the passion level / excitement level is going to be on the mound this year, Alek? I know you get fired up out there, whether it be a strikeout, staring down some people at Yankee Stadium, which all Jays fans love. You've been around a little bit now. Is that something where you're like, I'm a little bit older, maybe it's going to ease up a little bit, or is it going to be through the roof?
No, man, it's going to be higher than ever and more energetic than ever. And, you know, like I said, I don't take it for granted. Anytime I'm on that pitching mound, you know. So, being able to go out there, I'm always gonna be excited and pumped up and ready to go, and you know, use those emotions and that adrenaline and that energy, and you know, focus it into my game plan and go out there and compete as hard as I can. You know, do everything I can to get us some wins.
Are you a superstitious pitcher? Like, do you have a same routine when you're throwing, and, you know, same meal, you know, same type of preparation? Is it something that's, is it more of a routine, or do you just go out there and throw?
No, I think, you know, obviously, you know, I have a really good routine, you know, and there could be some superstitions in there, you know, wearing the same, you know, underwear, sliding shorts, you know, before every start. You know, things like that. But for the most part, yeah, you know, it's a routine, that I feel, you know, works really, really well for me right now. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, adding and subtracting from that routine, you know, over the years in college and the minors. And then my first few years, you know, a couple of years here in the big leagues as well, continuing to adjust, you know. So, I look forward to continue to adjust that and continue to perfect it and, you know, continue to use that routine, you know, to my advantage to, you know, never get too high on the good days and never get too low on the bad days. Just continue to stay in that routine and stay in the moment and be able to compete as hard as I can, you know. So not too superstitious, you know, never want to get too caught up in, you know, luck and all that stuff, but more just controlling what I can control, you know.
We're chatting with Alek Manoah. He'll take the ball tomorrow, opening day. The Jays are in St. Louis. You're still a really young guy in the league, yet you've made such an impact. I mean, we were discussing your Cy Young chances yesterday, and a lot of people around the league expect you to be, you know, top three, top five in terms of competing for an award like that. You're getting the ball opening day, and yet we noticed throughout the offseason there was obviously a message from the front office and I believe from the coaching staff to bring a veteran presence into the clubhouse and kind of a more professional attitude being exuded by the team. So as a younger guy, how do you juggle that? Like, how do you keep that exuberance, that passion, that excitement, that youth, but also, you know, keep in line with a messaging that the team is clearly trying to put forth?
Yeah, I think, this team's really great. You know, past few years, we've had a great mixture of, you know, some veteran guys and some younger guys, and you know, the younger guys kind of keep the veteran guys young, and the veteran guys keep the younger guys kind of in check, you know. So we've got a really good camaraderie and, you know, really, really good chemistry in that locker room. And, you know, for me, I kind of just try and, you know, lead by example, you know, just go out there and compete and be passionate. And I feel like that, you know, kind of, it's infectious, you know, and it's contagious, and, other guys can feel that energy and that passion and that competitiveness, and, they can feed off of it, you know. So, I feel like we all feed off of each other. We all love to play with each other and we love to go to work with each other every day. So, it's going to be pretty amazing.
You guys obviously feed off a home crowd that you're not going to see for quite some time. You guys start with 10 games on the road. I'm not even sure the last time you were up in Toronto. Like, when was the last time you got up to the city?
I was there this offseason. I believe in about January, late January. You know, was able to come back to the city and spend some time there. You know, do some stuff there, and was able to also go to Saskatoon, which was way too cold. but it was it was an amazing trip. You know, and great to feel that energy, you know, in the city again. So we look forward to being back there.
So tomorrow's game one at a 162. How long, you got a bit of a road stretch, how long before there's some team bonding needed where the fellas need to get together and have some beers or do whatever they do? How long does that take before that needs to happen?
Oh, man, there's no need for us to start doing that. We do that all the time, you know. We don't need a reason. You know, we love hanging out with each other, and I think that's
perfect.
You know, the best part is, you know, we're not just teammates; we're all brothers, and we're all, you know, great friends, and we all go really good together, you know. So whether it's you know, team dinners or, you know, fun events as a team, you know, or a pitcher's dinner or position players. You know, we're always doing something together, and, you know, we tend to have a good time.
With Alek Manoah, well, once you guys do get home, the renovations at the Rogers Center will be complete. We believe they'll be complete. They're still probably, you know, putting nails into different parts of the stadium and getting seats in and making sure they're crossing T's and dotting I's. But by the time you get home, you're going to have a bit of a different vibe in the stadium. They're really pushing like a party atmosphere. There's going to be patios, I believe, all over the, you know, the outfield sections. The porch is going to be lower, different dimensions of the park. Like, how familiar are you with what's coming and how different the park may be, and how could it affect possibly the way you play?
I have no clue what's coming. I'm kind of trying to keep it a surprise for myself. But I do, you know, I do know it's going to be an amazing experience for the fans. You know, I do know the bullpens are going to be a little bit closer to the fans, which I think is going to be absolutely amazing to be able to feel that energy before going into a game. And I just think, you know, we have the best fans in baseball, you know, so, being able to get them, you know, more space, more room, whatever, getting more people in the ballpark, I think is going to be amazing. And, you know, being able to do some more fun stuff in the ballpark to attract even more great fans. I think it's going to be amazing, you know, so I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, I'm a guy that pitches, you know, with a lot of energy and a lot of passion. I feed off the crowd, you know, so I feel like, you know, these new renovations and the new energy and, you know, packing all of our amazing fans in there, it's going to be a great environment to go out there and compete and to be able to, you know, go out there and feed off that energy.
With Alek Manoah, we saw a really cool moment last week in the final out of the World Baseball Classic where Shohei Ohtani went up against Mike Trout, and it was just a magical scene. Teammates, Ohtani being who he is, Trout being who he is. If you put yourself in the position of Shohei Ohtani, you're on the mound, which teammate would you want to go up against in a situation like that?
I gotta say Bo. Just because I know Bo's competitive level, you know, and I know he's going to be giving it his all going up against me and not caring that we're teammates, you know, and I'm going to be doing the same thing, you know, so that's why I think it'll be a great battle, and hopefully it ends the same way Shohei and Trout ended.
Yeah, you throw a nasty slider and make sure that he's swinging and missing. I mean, that doesn't happen too often, right? Like, how would you challenge Bichette? Would you step up first pitch like Ohtani did and just say, smoke? Like, you go hit it if you can hit it.
I don't know. I've watched him a lot of over time, and, you know, he's a tough out. He's a really balanced hitter, and, you know, he's got a great two-strike approach, and, you know, he can drive the ball to all parts of the field, you know, so... just glad I don't have to face him right now, and definitely not giving no tips on how to get him out either.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've always been curious about that. How much, you know, the batters lean on the pitchers, and the pitchers lean on the batters. Like, you know, you're talking about your pre-scout, and you're sitting there with Schneider, you're sitting there with Pete Walker, going for dinners with the pitchers, and going back and forth with the pitchers and the catchers. But how often might you lean on a Bichette or a Vladdy or a Biggio or Springer, et cetera? And vice versa, how often might the you know, hitters on your team come to you and say, what are you seeing here, and maybe how can I attack somebody?
Yeah, that happens a ton, you know, and everybody on this team loves baseball, and you know, like I said before, we're all great friends, and we're all always hanging out and stuff like that, you know, so those conversations tend to come up a lot, and sometimes they come up without even really realizing, you know, that we're helping each other, you know, but you know, next thing you know, you're kind of talking to Bo about, you know, how I would pitch him and what I think certain pitchers are seeing. And he's kind of giving me feedback from him playing shortstop, like, hey, I think some of these guys are looking at this, and, you know, and then I think just the conversations of hearing hitters' perspectives on, you know, hearing him about, you know, how he had an at bat against this guy or this or that. And just kind of getting into the mind of a really great hitter, I think, is amazing, you know, so. Just being able to talk shop, talk baseball, and, you know, kick it with all these guys, it makes us all better.
How's your guy Hyunjin Ryu feeling these days? And, I mean, there's some belief maybe he's a part of the squad come September, end of the season. I know you two are close. You connected right when you got up here. Can you give us a read on his situation?
Yeah, he's amazing. He's very calculated with everything he does, and that's what makes him so well, you know. So, you know, he could tell you where his throwing program is going to be 2 months from now, and you know, every single day to every single throw and how many throws, and you know, he's just very calculated with everything, you know, so you know, so he looks great, you know, body looks great, he's working really hard, and you know, he's gradually building up, and you know, he's going to start throwing bullpens here soon, and you know, if anyone's going to be able to, you know, come back from a surgery or whatever the case may be and be even better, it's going to be him, you know. So, you know, we're excited to be able to get him back, you know, in the second half and you know, make a push for this thing.
You were mentioning a lot of studying and pre-scout. Like, who on the team is probably the, you know, the biggest, you know, statistician or the biggest guy who would be called, we'll call him baseball nerd, somebody who, like, loves the game that much and maybe who's more instinct?
That's a good question. I don't know exactly who would be very, you know, into the stats and the details and the numbers and stuff like that. You know, I mean, if I had to guess, I'd say Tim Mazza. You know, he's very strategic and always looking at numbers and videos and what pitches to throw and what counts and what hitters are swinging and what counts and not, and, you know, things like that. But for the most part, everybody's, you know, everybody loves talking shop and everybody loves looking at the numbers and kind of analyzing each other and being able to help each other out.
How's everyone liking the pitch clock?
It's all right. You know, not.
You're okay with it? Like, has it changed your action, your routine, your connection with the catcher, et cetera?
No, I think, you know, you still got to go out there and play baseball. You know, everybody talks about the new pitch clock and all this stuff. And, you know, we're forgetting that the mound's still 60 feet, 6 inches away from home plate. It's still, you know, a 5 ounce ball. It's still 3 outs, you know, every half inning. It's still 27 ounce total. You know, and you just got to go out there and play baseball, you know, so. For a lot of guys, I know it's helping a lot of guys, and I know a lot of guys are, adjusting to get used to it. But for the most part, I feel like it's going great. And, guys are just focused on playing baseball and kind of it's just a little clock that's ticking in the back end. But we're just focused on, you know, doing everything we can to stay in a really good rhythm and not even have to worry about it.
Well, as you said, man, both teams are doing it, right? It's not like it's only for the Blue Jays, whoever you're playing, exactly. And every team in the league's facing the same thing. And shaving minutes off games, that's for sure, which allows for more camaraderie, beers, and good times after the game. You get out of there a little bit quicker. There's nothing wrong with that. Jays Cardinals tomorrow. He is Alek Manoah. He'll be on the mound opening day. It's great catching up with you, Alek. You know, best of luck throughout the season. Good luck tomorrow, and we appreciate you doing this today.
Yeah, thank you, guys. And I appreciate you guys having me.
There he is, Alek Manoah. Big opportunity for him tomorrow. How often, I'd actually like to look this up. That probably should have been doing that. How often has a guy pitched game one of a series, like a playoff series, before he ever had the ball on opening day? Like, how often has that happened? I guess Stroman, did he pitch game one in 15 when he came back from injury? I think it was Price that got game one, didn't he? So, like, that's pretty
wild.
It's got
to be like a young stud, like a Kerry Wood type that comes up and they're dialed in.
Doesn't happen often, man.
I'll never forget that guy was a stud, man. Oh, I'll never forget being in Pittsburgh at the Delta Pen, whatever it's called, the nice hotel in Pitt.
Yep.
And the Houston Astros were there before opening game. Okay, opening day. And the whole team was getting pile-drived at the lobby bar. And I was walking out to dinner, and I remember saying to Ronnie Francis, I'm like, look at these guys hammering beers. And the skip was there, the GM was there, and it was just like a beer frenzy. And I got back from dinner, and they were still there. I'm like, these guys got to go through 162, and they are getting pile-drived the night before game one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was everybody was involved.
That's incredible.
Everyone was involved.
That's like taking it deep the night before you go to Vegas for a week. Right?
I always used to do that. And I always, my signature move was take it deep the night you get back. And then
yeah, but
done.
It's ridiculous. That's like,
no, it isn't. I don't know why. Absurd. It was like a tradition I had. I was like, this is not ending. I'm going to take it deep one more time when I land, and that makes it a good vacation.
No, first and foremost, we have one buddy, idiot buddy, in our boys group that always gets piled the night before. And then he shows up late, his face is on sideways, and you're like, how are you going to do it again? Like, and he's like kind of drags down that first night because he's so out to luck.
That should be the rule, Jamie. If you're going to act like that, you're not allowed. But if it just puts you in a nice mood, then you go ahead and you have the green light to floor.
Everyone's got it, man. I remember when we went to Chicago for mine, and I had three buddies who almost missed their flights. They were coming down a day after we had been down there because they were out the night before. They're like, we're on an hour's sleep. I'm like, you knew you were coming down. We're in Chicago. Right. We got big plans. It's like, no, I just couldn't do it, man. I had to go out to the exact same place I go every single week.
Dude, it used to drive me
nuts. I could not go again.
No matter what you did the night before, back from 20 to 30, you're late for a tea time, you're basically out of the friend group.
Like,
no matter what happens, you better be on the tee at go time.
Yes, you got to make it. Honestly, it's even more criminal as you get older, though, because there's no excuse. Like, you're not going out or anything. Like, it doesn't matter when you tee it. Like, unless there's an emergency, which goes without saying. But just the idea that, hey, sorry, slept in, man, ran into some traffic, can't happen. Like, you got to be ready to go. I'm with you on that. All right, role play level of concern coming up. Let's see some of the roles that will be played in the upcoming segment. The Canadian Cup drought will be played. The Winnipeg Jets will be played. Bill Belichick will be played. All right, role play level of concern next.